And also, as a disclaimer, when I talk about finding your sound today, I'm not just talking about worship. Finding your sound is going to look different to each one of us. So I just want to say that right off the bat. I'm not just talking about worship today. So this message for me has been my whole life in the making. I'm 28, and I got to preach this message for the first time in February, and it's just been my whole life in the making. So before I get started, I just want to pray and invite Holy Spirit to just come and invade our space today. So Holy Spirit, we just thank you for being here. And we thank you for the sound that each and every one of us carries. I thank you for the uniqueness that you've put inside each and every one of us. And I just ask that today you would begin to unlock new layers of that sound. God, people that may have been quiet their whole lives, that you will just begin to unveil them to the world, because the world needs to hear their sound. And so we just thank you for this opportunity to be here together today and to just be with you. And we just thank you for your presence in Jesus' name. So, like I said, up until this February when I got to preach this for the first time, my whole life I've been on this journey to find my voice or my sound. I had always been able to kind of maybe echo people or mimic them, but I had never been able to find my own voice. It was always a struggle. And I knew that there was things inside of me that I had to say, but I couldn't get them out no matter how hard I tried. And part of it was my own not actually wanting to be up like here. This is not comfortable. But in order to release a sound, you have to talk, right? And I just want to say that the world is actually waiting for each of us to release a sound. And before I go kind of any further into that, I just want to say some things that might hinder you from finding your voice or your sound. And I've experienced most of these, such as being like shy, not wanting to be noticed, being insecure. A lot of us, you know, we grow up insecure. I know I did throughout high school, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit. There can be authority figures, parents, people that kind of cap us or shut us down. And I just want to say that there is authentic authority and there is counterfeit authority, and it's important that we learn the difference. We could disqualify our own selves. We could have gone through abuse. Any number of things that these things would hinder us from releasing the sound that God's created us to make. And so I just want to reiterate that verse from Luke 19:40 where Jesus says, "I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out." And I think that's so powerful, because in my life, the stones were different things, like my first car. So in high school, you don't want to be noticed, right? You just want to kind of get through there unscathed. At least that's how I was. But my first car was a 1988 Ford Tempo, and it was older than me. And my parents bought it for $45 to tow it home. So they're very proud of their purchase, you know. And so they show it to me, and I'm like, thanks, you know, I'm not sure how to feel about this. But just to paint the full picture, it had, do any of you remember the seatbelts that, like, you shut the door, and it's like, you know, and then you're like, darn, I forgot something, and it goes, and you got to wait for it. You touch the ceiling, asbestos rains down on you. It had the optional mud flaps, which was apparently a thing. And worst of all, it had a fan belt that squealed. So I'm just trying to get through the school parking lot to get home. You have all these kids in their Letterman's jackets, like looking cool in their cars. I'm in my marching band Letterman's jacket, which has a different color because we weren't actually cool enough to have real jackets. So just driving through the school parking lot, trying to escape unnoticed, and the car is just going like, you know, and I'm like, hey, anyone need a ride? No, we're good. You know, I'd ask my sister, you want to ride to school? No, I'm good. I'll ride the bus. You know, so no one wanted to be in this car, including me. And so I was so happy the day that car died. It got me where I needed to go sometimes. Yeah. So my stepdad tried to fix it. He tried everything, but it would just constantly squeal. So that was just my life. I think if I had like a Hollywood narrator over my life, it would be something like, all she wanted to do was not be noticed, but God had other plans. So that was my whole life. So we need to make a sound, or the rest of the world will for us, because the world is waiting for us to release the sound. And Romans 8:22 says, "To this day we are aware of the universal agony and groaning of creation, as if it were in the contractions of labor for childbirth." And so I want to talk a little bit about Joshua today. Before I came back to school for second year over the summer, I really started reading the book of Joshua, and I was kind of fascinated with his life. Most of you know he was kind of Moses' assistant. But if you read, even before you get to the book of Joshua, it says that he would constantly linger in the temple after Moses. And the temple is where the presence of God was, right? So I found that fascinating to think that he was actually the one to lead the Israelites into the promised land. And he also had spent all this time in the presence of God before that. And you guys remember when Moses was on Mount Sinai and Aaron and his people were making the golden calf? It doesn't say Joshua was with them. So somewhere he was lingering for 40 days. So I just want to make the point that I think Joshua spent a lot of time in the presence of God. And I think that really correlates with what he was able to do. And so when you fast forward, the baton gets passed to Joshua. He gets to lead the people into the promised land. And I want to talk specifically about Jericho, the Battle of Jericho. It's in Joshua 6. But God tells Joshua that he's given the land into his hand, and he gives him instruction to march around the city for 7 days. On the seventh day, as you, most of you know, God tells him to shout, and the walls were going to come down. Now, I don't know about you, but I think if I were in that position of like, wait, we're just going to march around the city for 6 days in silence, and then seven times on the seventh day, and then we're going to shout. I'd be like, really? Like, is that what you want to do? That doesn't make sense to me. But what if the people didn't buy into that? You know what I mean? What if they were mumbling and groaning as they're marching around this city? Because if you think about it, they weren't marching around like a room this size. They were marching around a city, and they were doing it in silence. And I love when Joshua's relaying this to the people. He's like, "You shall not shout, nor let your voice be heard, nor let a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you will shout." So I think you can reason that finding your sound actually starts with silence. And for so many of us, we feel bad for being silent sometimes, but I think there are seasons where we do need that silence because he develops us in the silence, right? And I don't know of any other wars that were won because of a shout. You would think that it would be like swords and all of that stuff, but it was marching in silence and a shout. Like, that's just fascinating to me. So 6 days, the people are marching around Jericho, and I'm sure they're asking in their head, like, is this going to work? But they had no choice. And so what if freedom lies in the sound we make or don't make? What if when God says to shout, we just remain silent? What if the people didn't buy in? And so for my own life, like, there were seasons where I just marched in silence out of obedience, wondering if anything was ever going to happen. And that had kind of been my whole life up until this school year when God said to shout and I had to shout or I would just be stuck in the same place, right? And so I knew that there were things in me. I knew that I had things to say, but I didn't know how to get them out. And God just... I'm not going to say that he purposefully put me through some of the things I went through, but I really learned through them, and I grew, and I developed. So he makes everything in the end, like, he works it for our good. Like, do we believe that? Yeah, so everything works for good. And I think for my own life, I loved, like, seeing people get set free, and I loved seeing people find their own voices, but I never thought that it was actually going to happen to me. And I asked myself the question as I was like thinking about Joshua and thinking about this message, like, why do I want to find my sound? And it's to help others find theirs. Because if we're locked up on the inside, I just had this realization in like October or something, if we're locked up on the inside, in a way, like, nothing we do matters. It does, but like, we're still locked up on the inside, you know? And so I just want to take a second to pray that if you have felt locked up on the inside, if you felt capped, whether you've limited yourself, whether someone has limited you, I just want to pray and break off the lie that your voice doesn't matter, because it does. So Holy Spirit, I thank you right now that you're just stirring in people's hearts and that you're just revealing truth to each and every person in this room. I thank you that the voices of each and every person in this room matter, And I thank you that just this church community as a whole, God, I thank you that they are all buying in. And I thank you that you are calling them to shout. And I thank you that each and every person, when that time comes, when you say shout, that they will shout because their voice matters, or you wouldn't have put them here. So God, I just thank you right now. So I just want to share a little bit of my own journey of this year of finding my sound, finding my voice. Early on in the year, I've always been musical. I've always played guitar, but I never really sang or done anything like that. But earlier this year, someone, a close friend, came to me and said, "Do you ever lead worship?" And I was like, "No." But what she didn't know is that I used to spend hours in my room playing my guitar and singing to God, but never with a desire to do it in front of anybody. But I told her, "No, I don't lead worship because I don't sing or anything." And she didn't hear my no. She just said, "Well, I'd like you to do it sometime. It's a Friday night thing that we do." And I was like, "Great. You know, how's this going to work?" And then a few weeks later, I was hanging out with some friends, and one of them asked me the question, "Why are you..." She said, "What happened during worship?" And I knew what she meant. She meant, "Why are you locked up regarding worship?" And right then and there, a friend who is now a friend but wasn't back then, walked in the house, and our conversation stopped because I didn't want to have this deep conversation with this person there that I didn't know. And so this person, who I'm now really good friends with, she's actually in India on a trip with the school, but she was being goofy that entire night. And you know when you, like, you have something digging at you and you want to figure it out and someone's just being goofy? And I felt so bad, but I glared at her the whole night. And I didn't mean to. I was like, "I just want you to go so I can figure out," because I knew that, like, this person knew something. And so we never got to finish our conversation that night. So for a whole week, I have this question digging at me. What happened during worship? What happened during worship? So the next week, I find out that I'm on a worship team with this girl for school, and our team name is Jericho. And I had been reading Joshua, and so I'm like, "Oh, great, you know, like, something's going to happen here." But I go into the practice. I was a little apprehensive because I'm like, she thinks I don't like her because I glared at her, and I don't think she likes me. But our practice went great. It was actually one of the most powerful worship times I've ever had, and we were just practicing, you know. But our piano player left to go to work, and it was just me and this girl and another girl. And I don't know what compelled me to do it, but I started playing a song for them that I had written 5 or 6 years ago. I don't even remember starting to sing the song, but I played it for them. And as soon as I finished, the girl looked at me and she said, "That song's amazing and the world needs to hear it. It's not that you can't sing, you're just afraid of the sound of your own voice." And when I heard that, it was like, you know, I knew she had hit something, and I knew that was the answer to the question that was posed a week earlier. So the person that interrupted my conversation a week earlier had the answer, and as it would be, you know. So it went on, and I ended up basically getting, not drug up on stage, I did do it voluntarily, but we sang my song in front of the school, and it was just one of the most terrifying and liberating things I've ever done, because that's something that God put inside of me. And like I said, for you, it might not be worship. For me, it was always music. I loved just playing guitar in my room for hours. But for you, it's whatever God has placed in you, that thing that maybe you have never told anybody, but you stuff it down when it comes up. Like, that's what God wants to bring out of you. So I just want to encourage you in that. And I think had I not spent all that time in my room playing guitar, I don't know that, like, this would have ever happened, because in my eyes, that was my marching around Jericho for, like, 6 days, even though it was actually years. But soon enough, I really feel it strongly for some of you that you're on day 7, maybe round 7, and God's about to, like, download new mindsets into you, and he's about to show you what you're carrying, and that what you're carrying is real. So I just want to validate that the things that you're feeling and the things that you feel called to do are very real. And so it's important that we find our voice so that others can find theirs. And our whole goal is to connect people to the Father. So no matter what we're doing, we need people in businesses. We need people where we are. No matter what you're doing, like, our whole goal can be to connect people to the Father. And business might be your sound. Worship might be your sound. Whatever that may be for you. I was originally going to entitle this message, Finding Your Voice, but God kind of shifted it to Finding Your Sound, because I think our voice, it's kind of our expression, but our sound is literally what comes out of us. And so I just want to encourage you to find your sound so that others can find theirs. And as I was praying last night, I just felt like, even for the city of Selma, like there's people in Selma that are absolutely brilliant that have not been discovered and have never been released. And I think that if they discover their sound, like they will change the world. And I just see each and every one of you as being people that can go out and release these people to find their sounds. Because Selma's not a problem. Like, Selma's a solution to the world. I really think so. And some of the people who you're going to help find their sound, they're going to shape the world. And it's going to take each and every one of them releasing their sound. So just, as I was praying, I just want to encourage you in that. So, find your sound so that you can get lost in Him and help others find theirs. Your voice matters. Like, what you carry matters. Don't worry about what it sounds like. I know for me, I never wanted to sing because I didn't think I was good enough. I was afraid of the sound of my own voice. But what if I didn't buy into what God was doing and didn't make a sound? I'd still be in my bedroom, like, miserable in a way, you know? Because there is gold in each and every one of you that's called to be released. And so, I'm going to do something very uncomfortable here in a minute and play the song that I wrote 5 years ago. It's called End of Me, but I just wanted to give a little bit of background for it. One day I was just sitting and playing my guitar, and I just kept hearing the phrase, I want to come to the end of me. And so I just started singing that. And through the next couple weeks, I ended up writing a song around it, but it needed a bridge. If you know anything about songs, you know what a bridge is. I couldn't find anything. I was really, really struggling. And then I was at a conference, and this lady kept saying, Arise and shine, for your light has come. And she just kept saying it over and over again. And it's actually Isaiah 60, verse 1. And as she said that, I was like, I think that's the bridge to the song. So I went home that night and immediately got the bridge. And then that song just stayed with me for 5 years. A couple of my friends had sung it at different things, but I never thought that I was going to sing that song in front of anybody. And then God had other plans this year. But I just want to say that, like, the song End of Me is a prayer, it's a testimony, and it's also an invitation. I want to come to the end of me has always been my prayer. God, I just want to come to the end of myself so that I can see the beginning of you and so that you can move through me. It's a testimony because in so many ways, I have come to the end of myself. And it's an invitation because I haven't fully come to the end of myself. He's always, like, unveiling things, you know? So no matter what lies you might have believed in the past, I just really think that God's going to download some new mindsets today. And I also want to say that we can't march alone. Kind of even going back to Jericho, I don't think it would have worked very well if Joshua just marched around the city 6-7 days and then shouted. I don't think it would have worked so well. So your church family is amazing. Like, and you guys are an army. And so I see that you are buying in, and I just want to encourage you in that. Like, when each of you buys in and finds that sound that you're supposed to make, I just think Selma's going to continue to be just rocked. So I just bless that. And, yeah, and we have to get out of our comfort zones, like I'm about to do, and sing a song. So as we go up, and Michaela's going to come up and help me play this song for you. But as we do, I just want to encourage you to kind of do something you've never done before. Like, if you've never come up here and stood here, come. Like, go somewhere you've never stood before. Do something you've never done before, because I just think God's going to do something when you even just take a step. Like, my whole life I would love to hide behind this pew in the back corner. I would love to just hide there. But I think when you take a step out, something will happen. And so when we're playing this song, I just invite you to come up and just have an encounter with God. We're not gonna like necessarily go into ministry time, but I just want to invite you. Like, if God's stirring you, just come up and have an encounter with Him, because I think He's gonna download new mindsets into you and do some things. So before I go up, I just want to pray. And oh, hang on, okay. and just thank God for what he's doing. And so, Father God, I thank you for each and every person. God, I ask that if anyone has disqualified themselves or if anyone has been disqualified, that they're not qualified any longer. I thank you that you're just downloading new mindsets into people and that you're revealing truth, that you're breaking off lies. And I thank you for the church, that for the sound that is going to come out of this church. God, I just bless each and every person in here to hear you clearly. Just praise you in Jesus' name. So just as we're playing, just come forward if you feel led.